Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, have questions? Need answers? Want to laugh? Then look no further than Ask Me Levi, hosted by Lacey Facey and co-hosted by me, Dakota. Ha, basic intro this week.
Yes, and tonight we have a special guest. And her name is Sarah. Yeah. So hello, Sarah.
Hello, special in so many ways. How do you do?
Tonight's episode is geared towards advice for stay-at-home moms. We had a lot of our fans that were stay-at-home moms who asked advice on how to do things. And also on there was a lot of questions on disabled stay-at-home moms that were asking a lot of questions. And Sarah, we've known each other for a while. She is another nursing home survivor.
That is a very nice way of putting it, like.
Yeah, and she's also a stay-at-home mom, and she is struggling now to due to some health issues. So she is working on her disability. So perfect guest to come on, as well as she's always got some comic relief. So.
I have comments whether people ask for them or not.
So tell us a little about yourself, Sarah. How many boys do you got? I know you have all boys in the house, so you're actually the only woman. So it's a struggle sometimes.
Yes, I am surrounded by balls and wieners.
How many boys do you got?
There's not been a day that goes by that I don't do a splashdown.
No.
But yes, I have four boys. My oldest is 20. And then I have my last two are twins. They're 11, and my middle child is fixed to be 14.
Oh, that just hurts
15.
My heart.
God, it runs together. 15.
Yeah, my heart, because they were younger when we met. We've been friends for a while now, so. They've grown quite a bit.
It don't matter how much I push down their heads, they insist on growing.
can't put a brick on their heads. They just keep growing.
Benefit of having a rather large son as I take him around and use him as a bouncer.
It also is hard because with boys getting older and older, it actually costs more and more. Everybody thinks girls are expensive, but I think you're here to say that boys are just as expensive, aren't they?
Exactly. The electronic situation, the video games, disgust me.
Yes.
It's like they rate how expensive they're going to make their games and shit on how poor I am. The most expensive game they have, that's what my kids lean towards.
Yep. That's natural, isn't it?
Yes. And being as their father's a gamer, they're all in. I cannot win that fight at all.
We have a fan of ours. Her name is Alyssa, and she is a stay-at-home mom, and she has three children, and she's just remarried, and has two also stepchildren that are in the home half the time. And one of her questions that she was needing some advice on was, how do you keep house, keep your mind, and make sure everybody has clean clothes to wear every day? And she goes on to say that I've tried this and tried this and tried this. I feel like I'm a failure. Is there something I'm missing? Is there a trick to do? Any advice, please, please help me out.
Well, first off, you need to assign chores for them to do, to do a little help. They love structure and responsibility. I can't speak for anybody else's kids, but one of my twins, Ryder, he loves having, helping mama. I can ask him to go start the laundry, and I have a little pod, so they're easy for him to grab and put in there, and he's not the tallest of the group, You know Ryder.
Yeah.
And he knows what he wears to school, and he knows that has to be washed. So they come in, they take their clothes off from school, put their play clothes on, And after their baths, he starts to load laundry for me, and I'll usually toss in the dryer by the time they go to bed, and I'll have their clothes laid out in the morning for when they get up for school. It's just, you know, parting, like making a routine.
Mm-hmm.
Get a routine
and
going. They love the structure and the routine. And, you know, dad can help too.
Yeah. And even if dad can work too, yes. Also, she was saying that they love structure. I know in the beginning they don't like structure because at the beginning it's work. You know, they see that it's work.
Yeah.
And little kids, the younger they are, it's harder showing them that they like structure. But if you start them the younger rather than later, they actually depend on the structure.
Right.
So if you build that kind of relationship with them, and we're not saying that you have to give them like the hardest chores or whatever. Every kid has their strong suits. There's Nathan I would trust with my laundry or anything, or his laundry. I would not trust my nephew, which is his brother Michael, with laundry. You know.
Right. You
you know.
You gotta know who you can get to do things. And
mm-hmm.
You know, it sounds awful, but I'm a firm believer in bribery. Firm, like,
yes.
I would have been a great mob wife.
Absolutely.
You want that new game? You want, you know, that new pair of cleats for football? And you're going to go do this for me real quick. Because, as you know, I run out of energy real quick with my heart. And they see that. They want more time with mom to play, so they're going to go pick up their room. They're going to go, you know, start the dryer for me again.
And you're,
you know,
always
stuff like
have
that.
A rebellious one. And I'm sure you have one of them too. Everybody's going to have a rebellious one. But again, that comes where you build structure younger. The younger they are, the easier it is when they get older to have structure. So,
right.
They're all going to rebel at times too. I mean, that's just part of being a kid and a teenager, but for the most part, you know, it helps.
And I think it helps them with work ethic when they get older. If you give them a structure now, they know how to start a routine. Because as you said, you know, I worked in the nursing home, so I made sure I had a routine every day. I did the hardest thing first, and the rest of the stuff goes by smooth. Or you can be ready for something that bad happens.
That's where I was about to say, like, even Dakota can say, because now we're getting younger and younger people coming into the workforce, which is great. It's their time to come in. However, a lot of the younger ones coming in right now don't have a work ethic because they've never had responsibilities before, which
right.
I mean, you can see. I mean, it's
and
very
it
evident
shows,
that
like,
they are. And it's
you can
not
you can see offhand who's coming in for a check.
Yeah, a lot of them are
coming in for a check and who's coming in to work.
Yeah.
It's crazy because the last, and Lacey can back this up, the last like 2 months, I've seen at least 5 people come in and do a certain position back there. And it's really like, it's not a hard position to do, but it's really like what you just said. They'll be there long enough to get that first paycheck and they're gone.
Yep.
Right.
And then
that's very fact, not having a structure.
Yes, this is the age group where Dakota has talked about 1,000 times. This is like
snowflake.
What was that? I'm sorry.
One of them quit and cussed you out in the group chat.
Oh yeah, but I mean, you know, it is what it is. But they had gotten really rude with other team members who were always there and always gung-ho and always helpful and always working, and they actually told them that they were going on a break and they just didn't show back up to work. I mean, it was just, and these ladies are there almost every day, and when they're shorthanded, they are there every day, and it was just
right.
Like a slap to their face. And you know, I'm a very polite person, very kind person, but I'm a very honest person too, because I don't think that lying to someone is going to help a situation at all. I understand there's a professionalism that you have to have for certain things, and I'm glad that I wasn't the boss and I was able to say something where the boss couldn't, you know, because that professionalism line was there. So So it was one of those things where I was like glad that I wasn't the boss, but at the same time, it is what it is. And they don't like it.
You
most
get
of the time
when
they
the
get
person
offended.
Comes in that wants to come in and try to play you, and just
want
to come in for a check. Yeah.
Yeah, and they want to, you notice that they understand that you realize what's going on because they're the ones that get so offended by something that was that simply said like the truth, babe.
Right.
Automatically, like lighting a match and adding it to the gasoline. Like you can ask him. Like that's just how the situations with the generation right now that's coming up because they're already struggling in a environment in school that is lacking structure now. You know, in school we used to have certain things that we
let me ask you guys this question. Because I want to get a parent's opinion on this. How do you feel about some schools now doing having like litter boxes and stuff in the bathrooms for furries or whatever they're called?
Litter boxes for what?
Okay, so let me break it down for you. Okay, so like there was across the country there was where people were identifying as certain things, and they were allowing kids to have the option to identify as animals like cats or dogs. And the school systems, around here in our area, debated on whether to have litter boxes in their bathroom. And actually, one of our school systems not too far away actually granted that this past year, and they had litter boxes in their bathroom. And one of the other big arguments about that was that the janitors would have to clean them. And it's like, no, like if they should have to clean their own litter box. And then they came into saying, like, if you identify as a cat, you know, clean their litter boxes, so why are we even having this discussion? It was just a huge thing, but it actually was real.
Okay.
It actually, stupid it was. Now, you as a parent, what do you think?
I get that these kids nowadays can identify as a cat, a dog, a tree, whatever. You do you, boo, okay? I'm fine with that. But when my child is faced with that and it confuses them and upsets them when they walk into the bathroom and see a child their age squatting over a litter box, what do I say to my son when he comes to me, Mommy, what am I doing wrong? Is that what I'm supposed to be doing? That just uproots everything I've taught him, and it just puts more fear into him. They're already afraid of going into school every day, afraid of getting beat up, afraid of getting shot. You know, it's one more thing to take away from what they're really there for. Where's the education at?
Right. And that's where
we had it in our heads.
Education in the
school system. We're going to school, what we were there for. You do schooling and come home and be whoever you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's like separation of church and state.
Right. And that's where we were talking about on a few episodes before. They're pushing this, like, what pronoun are you, what do you identify as early as kindergarten. And these kids don't even have the education until the fifth grade in English class on pronouns and things like that. But they're not, their minds can't process that. They're here to learn and grow, and we're pushing something on them that we're not allowing them to be kids. And that's a problem.
Well, here's the way
I
look at it like
kids
this.
Kids don't feel safe with their adults, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I throw this out here as another thing. Okay, say I want to identify as a dog, right? I go rob a bank. I get caught robbing this bank. Do I go to jail because I identify as a dog, or do I go straight to the pound? Because one, you know, I'm in a cell, and the other, I get put down.
Exactly. And that's where we come into the problem where this shouldn't even be an argument, because we're going to try that person as a human. We're not going to try them as an animal. Like, if something were to happen, how would the law look at them as? And, you know, they're not going to send a human to the pound to be put down. You know, it's just that. But
why add
time,
that?
And they wouldn't
that
want
child.
That, you know?
Yeah. I don't understand.
Exactly.
I get to let them be free and let them do what they want to an extent. But they're going there to learn and go there to learn and be what you want to be at home.
Man, even back in my day, the weird kids were always weird, but, like, they weren't that weird. Like, nobody was shitting litter boxes in the bathroom and shit.
And as far as, like, as like gender and stuff goes, when they get older, and because kids in elementary school and middle school, they're just learning about themselves in the first place. Used to, you would only see this like really pick up like at the end of their middle school ages, school years, and by that time they're old enough where there is some confusion in there, but at the same time they're learning to be themselves. So, you know, being themselves, how they want to dress, how they want to do things, you know. That's perfectly fine, but we're not talking about changing races, you know, like changing human right. from the human race to an animal race. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
we're not changing species, dude.
A species, yes. I'm sorry, a species.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking
human
race.
You know, we always
race,
had that
so
one kid in class that wouldn't take their Halloween costume off for 2 weeks after Halloween, or wanted to wear cat ears. You know,
I thought I was a real Power Ranger back then. Y'all leave me alone about that. I told you guys that.
There was always, you know. But don't brand them. Don't put it in their heads that that's what they decide they're going to be.
Right. Well, that's for them to decide later. They should be able to have a safe place to learn and grow. And
Say you guys are 5 years old, right? And somebody comes up to you and they're like, you can be anything you want to be. That's what you're going to be. And you're five. What are you going to pick?
Right.
I mean, a princess, Barbie, you know, something like that, right?
Right.
Right.
So these kids are not, it goes back to what you're saying about they're not educated enough to even know what the hell they're doing at that age.
It's important for them to have that innocence for as long as they can, because, you know, the world's a hard place out there. Why would we want them to have to automatically be little adults? You know,
Put your politics on a child, because they don't understand what you're asking them to do.
Right, and that's where you get all the confusion, and like we had talked about a few episodes before, you see our child suicide rates have increased over the years. Like, it's just insane to me that you can turn on the news now and see where, like, as young as 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids killing themselves. Like, it's just...
Or that 6-year-old shooting its teacher.
Like that mentality, you know. And it's hard. I know that your kids play games all the time, so this is another question for another parent. Was my children love to play video games. And she was saying that one of her teachers was telling her that she needed to stop letting her kids play video games because they believed that it was reality. And she was like, how much do I take away and how much do I not take away for them to know what's real and what's not real? I asked how old the kids were just so we can kind of get a idea on the age group. And her oldest was 9, and her youngest was 7. So this is 7 and 9-year-olds. And, again, that's hard because they're kids and you allow them to be kids. What is reality to them? Like Dakota was saying, they still should be talking about, like, being princesses and doing, you know, playing around and stuff like that. As far as the violence goes, I understand that. Where they don't have gun safety,
it was
they don't
different.
Understand all that.
Okay, it was different when we were kids.
All right?
We didn't have somebody out there saying, you're letting your kid play outside too much. You're letting your kid ride her bike too much.
Right.
This generation is playing games, whereas ours was playing outside till the streetlights come on. That's their way of release. This is where I say the school has too much reach into the home. Mm-hmm. Get out of my house. Stay in your lane. I know what's right for my kids. That's different for every kid. Yeah, if that's all they talk about, try to get them, you know, off track and tell you about some of their other interests. But they are just kids. Get your head out of my house, and I'll keep my head and foot out of your ass. At your job.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to be vulgar, but that's the way I see it.
Yeah, and that's something where also
we still get three more F bombs on this show. We're rated R.
Like, I will also say also out there to parents that I have, because we had a few that asked kind of similar questions. If your kid is playing video games that has violence and they're shooting and stuff like that, and you have guns in the home. Now, if there was somebody that asked, like, questions on safety for that because the kid picks up guns and they're young and things like that, I mean, it's your home, it's your rules, it's your basis, but you're the one asking
right.
me for the advice, so I'm going to say, and it's just my opinion, that if you do have guns in the home, when we were young, we have guns in the home, but we were taught how to use them. We were taught how to use the safety. We were taught
how to respect them,
not touch them, and how to respect them.
Exactly.
It's not guns that kill people; it's people that kill people. And
right.
accidents happen because people don't know how to use guns and stuff like that in the home, and they don't know gun safety. So, if you do have kids playing video games that have violence in them, and they're shooting and stuff like that, and you do have guns in the home, if you don't feel like they're old enough to talk about gun safety or for them to even be touching real guns, they need to be locked up when they're not in use.
Right, and that comes back to the parent. You know, you have to think about the maturity of the child.
Right. It's
right.
your home.
You have to think about the maturity of the child to where you can set them down and tell them, look, this is not a toy. From day
mm-hmm.
one when you get that gun in your home, you have to be prepared to have that talk. And
right.
this is different
exactly.
from a video game.
Yeah.
They got me a Red Ryder BB gun when I was like 5, and they sat me down and was like, this ain't a toy. I don't want you pointing at people. I don't want you doing this.
Right. Right. And that's like even like toy Nerf guns and things like that. For example, Nathan's going to be 21 in January. So when he was young and he got like a Nerf gun, the first thing that we taught them was you don't shoot at your face, for one. You know, like you go over simple things with kids, even though it's not an actual, it can be a weapon and take out an eyeball. But, you know,
right.
you teach in your own
and
home.
It's just
and
like,
then,
you know,
if,
that
if,
comes back. It comes back to, I have their fathers in our home, you know.
Yeah.
He was raised with guns. He's
mm-hmm.
a Southern man. He, you know, that's something that is pretty much expected. He knows how to
yeah.
teach our sons the difference between a toy and a real gun and how to respect that gun. And like you said, even with toy guns, son, don't point that in your brother's face. Don't
right.
shoot that towards cars because they can't tell when they're driving by if you're pointing a real gun or a toy gun. And you're going to
exactly.
distract them and they're going to, you know, drive off the road. But
right.
it's a Southern mentality as well because – they all have guns. The little boys want to go hunting with their fathers, with their papas, you know. But you still have to instill the difference between the toy and the video game. So it really
right.
starts with the parent.
Right. And again, that is for each individual home. You know, the school system really doesn't have a say on that. Now, if there was a kid that comes to school and they had a lot of questions and they're asking the teacher and the teacher reaches out to the parent, I completely understand that.
Right.
But, you know, like you said, there comes a fine line between what happens in school and what happens at home. And I think the communication between
exactly.
teachers and parents are totally different now, too, because when we were in school, if we acted up, we could expect that our teacher would reach out to our parents and our parents would whoop our butt when we got home. And then we would have to say sorry to the teacher the next day. We showed our teachers respect. And now we have...
Right.
You know, and at the same point, our teacher also showed us respect and showed the parents respect because that's how the dynamic was. I cannot even imagine being a teacher right now in this day and time. And my brother is actually, he just passed his last final practice. He's going to be a teacher. He's got one last semester of student teaching, and he's going to be in teaching. And I can't even imagine being a teacher during this time because, like I said, it's just a different... It's a different time period. Respect is totally different these days. And
they're fearing for their lives.
Yeah, they fear for their
and
lives.
It's
because
ridiculous.
It's like everybody's out for their own because they're fearful. The fear runs everything
yeah.
right now. And when you go to school
with
that mentality.
You can't look at every child and fear them.
Right.
just because they don't, you know, lick your boots. They might have something going on in the home. My kids afraid to leave me every day because of my heart function. They don't know that I'm going to be here when they get home. So they're a little distracted. So I try to instill to them that mama's going to be okay, that, you know, I have friends that are just a call away, that daddy's always here with me. So when that kid snaps at you, don't jump down their throat and call DHS. Set them down and talk to them, you know. Understand that them babies got something else going on.
Right, and I truly believe a school system should have a counselor, a guidance counselor, a something in the school system. They should have that. We had that when we were growing up.
Anymore.
It was different. No, well,
they
do,
have,
but they don't.
Like,
it is.
That's crazy.
It is, since COVID, it's a lot different. Like, they're...
The personalization is gone.
When I was in middle school, now this was out in Arizona. I don't know if they did this here or not. We had guidance counselors, but we also had peer mediation, which I was a peer mediator, and it was kind of like a peer guidance counselor, more or less, too. So maybe they can do something like that here.
They should.
Right.
See, they were going towards that for a while. Then COVID hit, and now we have this socialization between people now. Like we were talking on an episode a few times before about, like, you could be sitting next to somebody and then be texting each other instead of talking. Like, that also instills
in how we... The face-to-face is gone.
Our face-to-face is gone.
Yeah.
And also, like, in our school system, because jobs out there right now in America, like, if you want a job, there's jobs out there. But it's hard to find people right now to work. And because if you can work from home, why would you go to work? And that's just the mentality that they have. And when you're in a school system and you're learning and you're growing, and you need somebody to adjust to, because sometimes kids don't feel comfortable talking to their parents because they're worried. They don't want their parent to worry about them, or they're worried their parents will understand them. There's different reasons. And so there should be somebody.
I can honestly say I have never been more fearful in my life. And it was bad when CJ was little, when he was starting school. But now, every day sending them babies to school, I'm afraid they won't come home.
Oh, I know, because we've had more school shootings, the past 2 years, it's kind of multiplied. And it's in our neck of the woods. You used to see it, like, in big cities and big environments, you know, big places. And now you're starting to see it in smaller areas. It's coming more at home now. And when it gets more
and
at home,
I'm the last
it's
person
fearful.
I'm the last person to be teaching kids at home. Okay, I went to Clarksburg, and I wasn't that bright before I went to Clarksburg, so, you know. Bubba Gump and Forrest was my teachers. But let me tell you, when Nashville got shot up, I was seriously thinking about keeping my kids home because that was too close to home. And I cried.
Yeah.
I really did. Because them babies are my world.
Well, where y'all live in Camden, I live in Parsons, just about 30 minutes from you. But Camden, in the last few years, have had gun threats so much, and bomb threats, where they have, like, sent kids home early, or they kept kids on lockdown and didn't even notify the parents until after they cleared, you know.
Yes. I'm
Some
glad you brought that up, because last year... Let me interrupt you. Last year, there was somebody running around the boys' school, a grown-ass man, naked, and they locked the school down. Yes, and I did not get a call, not one. And Drake come home. Drake's my sensitive one. He come home in tears, scared to death, because he couldn't get to Ryder.
This is here in Camden?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's what I'm saying. Because small areas right now, they're not prepared for things like this, because we've never been in that type of situation. And so, but it's scary, because they should be prepared for things like this. But the first thing that they should do is have a, kind of like at the nursing home, you have, like, codes, you know, you call the codes or whatever, and everything's called out, and people figure, you know, there's somebody to call 911, there's somebody to call, there's
do
something
they do, like,
to call everybody in need.
Do they do like lockdown drills? You know, like if somebody
they
is on
they,
the
yeah,
campus,
they
just,
lockdown,
you know,
they used to. Are they doing them again? They used to all the time. Like we would have tornado drills, we would have lockdown drills, we would have fire.
Oh, that's one thing I don't miss: are freaking tornado drills. When I moved out to Arizona, I never had that. We never had tornado drills out in Arizona. I was lucky.
But yeah, they
didn't have to get
lockdown drills
more frequently.
They do tornado drills now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
we don't
how
do any of
them.
Putting
your ass in the air with your head against the wall going to save you from a tornado? It's going to pick you up by your ass.
Yeah, that's,
exactly.
That's probably the safest thing they could tell you to do in the school, because when you're in a school, you're
so
isolated. You're
ears,
stuck.
Guys, so you don't hear the tornado pick you up.
Yeah.
It really is.
We're
only
about
3 minutes
left of the show, guys.
Oh, see, look,
dang, it's going by quick.
Yeah,
time flies
we'll have
by
to have
you
back on another time.
Oh,
yes.
for sure.
Oh, well, while we have 3 minutes left, let's talk about our other shows coming up this week. I know that we have the Stash on Wednesdays. Are we having one this Wednesday?
I have to get with Danny on that one, but most likely. You know how
okay.
it goes with him. He's he likes to get a little too high.
He's got a lot going on. And then we have...
Well, I live with a professional pothead. If y'all need some tips, just let me know.
Yes.
Might need
yes,
to fill in every now and then.
We also have Too Much Nerd Talk on Thursdays, which we've been doing pretty good, having one every Thursday.
This
which,
going
sir,
to be about
you're welcome
Ninja
to
Turtle
come on
movie.
That show anytime, too. Yeah, we're looking at doing a Ninja Turtle one coming up soon. Quite a few things. We had quite a few good ideas.
Speaking of that, have you seen the new Pizza Hut thing with Ninja Turtles?
No,
yeah.
I haven't.
Yep.
You forget, I don't have TV half the time.
The Big New Yorker's back, and the Ninja Turtles are promoting it. They got Ninja Turtles on the box. Charles got one the other
yeah.
day.
That's my homeboy.
What was it, Michelangelo? He said it was Michelangelo.
Yes. Well, I'm not a fan to the new cartoon coming out that Seth Rogen. Maybe when I go to the movies, he's going to change my mind. But right now, it doesn't look like I'm going to be a fan of it. But as a true
what do you mean
fan,
the guy
I will
from Pineapple Express didn't make a good Ninja Turtles movie?
I'm kind of depressed with him, actually. But anyway, moving on. And then next Monday, we'll have another Ask Me Levi's. Don't forget, we have a Facebook page for Ask Me Levi's. If you have any questions or need any advice, you can leave questions there. If you want to be anonymous or you want your name mentioned on the show, just let us know. Or you can call in. Also, we have a Facebook page for Too Much Nerd Talk where the same principles go. If you have questions or want to be part of discussions, things like that, you can reach us on that page or our individual Facebook pages. And we're working on the Stash on getting them a Facebook page, which I got to talk to you about.
Yay.
But anyway, so.
And
I hope a little bit of time that we had, it helped.
Oh, yes, and it's been a blast, and thank you for coming on. And
we hope
to have you back in the future. Yes.
I would love to come back.
Yes.
Also, guys, be on the lookout for Shane's new comic book coming out in October. I'm going to be a background character in it, eating a taco. If you can find me, I will autograph
it for
you guys.
He's so excited about that. He's so I mean, I would be too, though, but he's so...
Name dropper.
Name dropper. But we are proud.
Somebody get the Roman Dust fan with a name dropping.
Yeah, we are proud of our Shane, though.
Proud parent of Shane right now. If you're listening, Shane.
Yes, happy late birthday to my friend Lacey Bug.
Oh, well, thank you.
Oh, that
thank
is
you
true.
So much. And
me and
Ryan had our birthday on the 14th, yep.
Yeah. Oh, and my mommy.
It goes by quick, girl.
Yeah, it does. And Dakota's
how many people
mom,
have
the
birthday
of
July 14th?
14th. Right now I know of, I had a best friend in school, too. Her name is Jessica. Shout out to Jessica. Used to be Perry, but she's married now. I don't know what her last name is. Yeah. So I let you know, I'll only tell 5 people, yeah. But anyhow.
Well, everybody,
I live
my
another day.
So
happy birthday to me.
What a cool story. I'm going to throw that out there, Finn. Got fans from over the world on some cool shit, especially my fans in India.
Y'all didn't hear me. I said I survived another day of heart failure, so happy birthday to me. Woo woo.
Yes, of course. Prayers for you always.
I'm going to be sad at this. Oh, God.
Every day should be
remember,
a birthday.
Always wrote.
Yeah, every day is a birthday.
Literally, we would have not had to
roast the world.
Because the world needs roasting, my friend.
It's wonderful to live with a pothead because he forgets when my birthday is, so I can tell him tomorrow is my birthday and it'll all be good.
Oh, God.
That's the best advice to end this show on right there.
Yeah,
marry
that's
a pothead.
We'll see y'all next
at least,
time, everybody.
At least you know by the end of the day I'll get a pack of cigarettes and a Diet Coke.
Yes, I'm letting. Anyway, well, thank you, everybody.
Oh,
man. We'll see you next time. Thanks, Sarah, for coming on. We'll talk to you next time.
Absolutely.
Bye, everybody.
Coda, keep it real.
You too.
Oh, yeah.